Yo, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
What's happening? What's happening, Doom?
Nothing much, man. Just chilling, relaxing. It's been a long week for me, even though I was on a holiday.
Still, yeah, like, no, man. Fuck, man. It's always a long. It's every week is a long week.
Yeah, man. Straight up, just been fucking getting shit ready, man. Getting things fixed. Getting things cleaned.
Yeah, no, man. I can't imagine. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. You know, adulting, man. Adulting, like, yeah. It's fucking, you know, like, man, just wish, you know, that's why we're doing this podcast. That's why we're doing these things, because, you know, it takes us back to when we were kids.
Yeah. It's kind of an escape in a way, too, right? You just kind of chill out, take some time out, and just kind of slow things down a bit and just shoot the shit.
Yeah, remember when we were kids? It's just, we had all the time in the world. We had all the time in the world. We didn't really need to, like, you know, like, I don't know. If you want to put your kids out there, shout out to the kids who do their homework. Yeah. But you know, if you didn't want to do your homework, you're like, oh shit, I'm not gonna do that worksheet tonight. And I might get in trouble with a teacher for a bit, but it's okay. It's about the Industrial Revolution, so fuck it, right? But you know, like you could do that stuff, you know. And now it's like, yeah, oh shit, your cabinet needs to be replaced. You gotta install a new shower head, or you gotta fucking tear up the flooring, or you gotta, you know, go to work, because if you don't go to work, you don't get paid, and if you don't get paid, then you don't get food in your house. You know, it's different.
Damn, yeah, you're right.
It is different. You know, when we were kids, it's like, what's the worst that could happen? You know, you fail a class, you might get a couple warnings here and there, you might get a couple reports sent home, you know, and that's it. You know, worst case scenario, you get a beating, right? You know, nowadays, you just get thrown out of your house.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Scary what's going on in Vancouver too, right? With like the high housing prices and whatnot.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. It's crazy living in this city, you know, like, it's, you know, we love it here, though, you know what I mean? Like, Akron, you know, I think for a lot of people is you just get tied down to where you are. Like, you know what, like, once this pandemic is over, once everything is over, like, you and I can hang out, you know, I can hang out more regularly with my family and things like that. Like, it's,
yeah,
you know, like, I can't see myself really, like, moving anywhere else. You know, we work here, we make our living here, so, you know, it's but it comes at a cost, right? It's you know, we grind, we work hard for it. It's not easy living in this city, you know, with the housing costs and everything else in this city. You move elsewhere in the world, you can live like a king.
Exactly. Like, you could go back to your home country or whatever. I can go back to India or wherever and, like, literally have people wipe my ass for me.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy, right? And we have relatives around the world that are, like, you know, they're in Asia and stuff like that, or other parts of the world, and they're like, oh, shit. When they hear, like, oh, you make such and such, you make this much? Holy shit, man. And we, like, yo, fuck, man. We struggling just to, you know, keeping the bills, man. We're not fucking going on vacation. We're not fucking flying to Cabo every weekend. Yeah.
Money just throwing trees over here. Yeah.
Yeah, we're not fucking going to the Hamptons, you know what I mean?
No.
And these people are looking at us like, holy shit, you know what? Like, we go there, you go to like a village in Asia and you're like, holy shit, man, you're about to, you know, we probably about to, you know, biggest hut in the fucking village, and we're gonna live like kings, like you said. We're gonna have people wiping our asses for us, and then, you know, like, but not that it's, you know, shout out to the people who want their asses to be put in us by other people. That's disgusting. I would never do it, but it is what it is. To each their own. If you're a millionaire and you're gonna, you know, if somebody told me 10 grand to wipe their ass just once, I don't know, man. Depends on whose ass it is.
Hey, bro, don't make fun of the people that wipe asses. I'm one of those people, so.
Oh, shit.
Basically, yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, you understand, right? Like, being a nurse, you have to, like, clean people up and shit.
Oh, no, that's what I mean. I meant like a professional ass wiper.
Oh.
That's what I thought you were talking about. No, I thought somebody's waiting in the house. Somebody's taking a shit. Be like, yo, you got my hand.
You're confused for a second. You're like, what?
Yeah. No. I was like, yo, shit, man. I'm like, is there a job? An actual job that wipes ass? I get it. Yeah. If you're taking care of people and shit. Yeah. If you're taking care of people. Oh, I totally didn't mean it that way. I was like, yo, shit. I thought it was like a pro ass wiper. You know what I mean? Like I'm gonna drop a deuce and be like, yeah, you know what? I'm too lazy. Wipe my ass, motherfucker. Wipe my ass.
It's like one of those dudes in the washrooms when you go to the clubs.
Yeah. I thought you were talking about one of those guys, and now you have me tripping out because I was like, yo, is there an actual job? I didn't want to hate on nobody.
Yeah.
I didn't want to hate on real ass wipers. You know what I mean? Like I get it. Like if you're taking care of people, if you're in a nursing home, whatever, you gotta do that shit. And you know what? Let's shout out to everybody that do that. You know what I mean? Because goddamn, man. It's humbling. It's humbling. Like for me, I'm like, fuck, man. You know what I mean? But to be a guy who lives in someone's washroom and to do that for a living, goddamn, that's gotta be crazy.
Yeah, imagine if it's like a gross guy, because you know, like I even see gross people, but it's fucking hard sometimes, man.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Let's say a super rich dude. Let's say like motherfucking Jeff Bezos is like, yo, you're set for life, and he gives you two options, right? This all is right. We throwing all our dignity out the window here. In real life, I tell him go fuck.
Wait. So is this a would you rather?
Yes. In real life, I tell him to go fuck himself. All right.
Yeah.
But right. Let's just say we throw our dignity out, right? And Jeff Bezos is like, yo, you'll be set for the rest of your life, and your fam be set for the rest of their life.
Yeah, but his bald ass walks up to you, fucking.
Yeah. You get two choices. He gets, you got to clean up. He gets like bouts of violent diarrhea or violent. Okay. Vomiting.
Oh, okay.
So you gotta choose which one, like, you gotta choose, like, yo, would you rather clean up violent vomiting, or would you rather clean up violent diarrhea?
Huh. You know what?
Hey, before we do this, though, listener alert, if you don't like listening to this shit, you just cover your ears or skip ahead like 2 minutes. You should skip ahead 5 minutes because we might still be talking about this nonsense.
Yeah, fuck. You know what? I've seen it all. I've seen violent vomiting.
I've seen
violent ass shits. I'd probably say vomiting.
You would rather clean up the vomiting, right?
I'd rather clean up the vomiting, yeah. Cause you could even like catch the vomit. You can't catch shit.
No, you can't you can't. I've seen some stuff. Thank goodness I didn't have to you're right. If you got to tune them back in now, you only skipped ahead for about a minute, so you just fucked it.
You can put like a little basin and be like, hey, all right, if you got the feeling you got a puke, man, just like fuck it, throw this out of your mouth.
No. I take some straight up bile over some poop.
Dude, I see bile too. So when people come out of operations, their intestines are kind of sleeping because of the anesthesia and stuff So their intestines will work, and then the bile actually backs up into the stomach, and then that's what causes the vomiting because it's not supposed to be.
All this shit, man. All this shit when you're like, there was that, remember that guy who, you know, we're big MMA guys. You guys know if you've been listening to our show. Shout out to our like 10 loyal fans out there. Basically, shout out to our family and friends. But if you, that MMA guy who got knocked out, he was out. You see that? Remember that? Did I send you that clip?
You did, yeah.
Yeah. Dude got knocked out and he shat his pants. He fucking took a shit. And then, the guy was gonna fucking follow up with punches and he ran away.
Yeah, because he smelled this.
That was not a situation of he who smelt it dealt it. Because he smelt it and he fucking got the fuck out of there. But he smelt it and booked it.
Apparently when Rashad Evans knocked out Chuck Liddell shat his pants.
Yes, I heard about that. I heard about that story. That was like, that was fresh off him coming off the Ultimate season 2 of the Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah.
When he was like, you know, there were some world beaters on those first two rosters.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be like a deeper roster than season 1.
Yeah, no, because it's diluted. Those guys are ridiculous. Yeah. There's some crazy guys. And, you know, I mean, a lot of the guys now all came out of that, right? You got guys like, what's his face? Like, yeah, I mean, Tony Ferguson came from the Ultimate Fighter. Nate Diaz came off from there.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah. No. Man, you would like, I was fucking scared there. I thought there was some professional poo wipers. I was like, dude, geez, I thought I wasn't trying to offend nobody, so but anyways, that took a weird turn because we started talking about poop, but you had to bring it up. You the one that had to bring it up,
dude, man. Yeah, I've seen river flows of shit,
like,
all fucking shapes and sizes, man. But the grossest thing I've ever smelled was this old man. He had a GI bleed, so his like intestines were bleeding or his stomach was bleeding.
Yeah,
he had a massive shit, and that was the smelliest thing, because you smell the iron and you smell like the decomposing like red blood cells.
Hey,
and on top of that you smell the shit, and it's just like stings your nose.
It's like a punch to the nose.
Yeah, it's like a mixture of the worst smells. Yeah.
I can't, man. I mean, I'm too soft for that stuff. But
you know, even with all that, the thing that messed me up the most, the only thing that made me feel like I wanted to puke during my job was I cleaned a guy's mouth out and I told him to like swoosh and spit. So I gave him like a mouthwash to swoosh.
Yeah.
And when he spit everything out, there's all these food particles that came out, and it was like gross. That's the only thing that made me feel like a little bit nauseous. Otherwise, it doesn't matter what kind of shit, doesn't matter like what kind of puke or anything, nothing else affected me. For some reason, just that swish and spit of like food particles is what made me feel gross.
Yo, I'm telling you, man, I'm definitely putting a disclaimer in the motherfucking show notes. You definitely made some motherfuckers puke right there. I guarantee you, somebody listened to that and just wanted a retch. I almost wanted a retch. If you could see my face right now, oh my God, my face was contorted. My face was contorted. Like, I was like, I looked like motherfucking E.T. Like, that's what my face looked like. Like, my face looked like E.T. because I was so contorted, but yeah, man. Oh man, I every time my dog poops, every time my dog poops in the house, because if it's raining, sometimes he poops on we got a pad thing for him and he knows to go there. Every time my dog poops in the house, I'm already about to puke. Yeah. Oh shit, man. Anyways, I called it. I said come back in 2 minutes, but it's actually like 5. We talked about the poo, but anyways, we started off giving you the like, you know what? We don't pull any punches, okay? This show, Shoe and Dooms, we always give it to you raw. This some raw stuff, but you know what? Before we move on, I gotta say, the person who was always the most raw, the rawest, just the realest dude out there, at least in his lyrics for sure, and in how he expressed himself.
Yeah.
You got a shout out. You know what I'm about to say right now.
I do.
You know what I'm about to say. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, you got to say it now because I know you're going to get this right. Who are we going to shout out, dude?
Are we going to shout out DMX?
Yes. We go, of course. You see? Yeah, this is why we're friends for so long, because you know who I'm talking about. You know, there's only one person in this world right now at this current moment that I could be talking about right now. And we got a shout out, like we shouted out Emmanuel Stewart, but shout out to DMX, shout out to the Dark Man, shout out to Dark Man X, okay? Because he was a troubled man in many ways, but you know what? I'm not just making this shit up. I got this from, like, I actually bought his autobiography. I was one of the, you know, like, I mean, when people say, oh, what kind of books you got in your bookcase, I'm like, yo, I got a DMX autobiography. But he dictated it. It wasn't written by him. He dictated it to Smokey B. Robinson, who I think Smokey B. Robinson wrote for The Source or XXL.
Yeah, yeah.
And then so he wrote the book, but DMX documented his life. It's called Earl, his first name, Ever Always Real Life. So he had a very troubled past in Yonkers in New York. And we grew up listening to DMX.
Yeah, yeah. He was Rough Riders anthem, man, during high school.
Yeah, Rough Riders, and then he came up with like Eve, and you know, Swiss Beats was a big part of that. Him and Swiss, his producer, that's like the one of the most famous rapper producer combos, right? I would say Swiss Beats and DMX, and he has so many bangers, and you know what? So many people who have needed that pump up. If you needed to get hype for something, right? Whether it be like a game, or whether it be like a competition, or whether it be like even just like waking up, or like you're cruising with your buddies, you're ready to go out, you're ready to go on a road trip. Like, you put DMX in your car, you put it in the deck, you know, like it's gonna get you pumped up.
Gonna get people's heads nodding too, right?
He's bumping. That's some crazy shit right there. And it's just now. I'm gonna spring this on you. We usually don't plan shit for these shows, so we kind of go off the dome.
But people can probably tell we don't plan anything.
No. Yeah, but you know, this, it is what it is, and it's what we enjoy. So, would you, the top three DMX tracks? Top three.
I don't know, man. There's a lot of good songs.
There's a lot. That this is what makes it difficult. And he has like, cause he tried in his life to be a good Christian.
Yeah, I think.
Right.
People kind of found out a bit too late the changes he was trying to make in his life.
Yes, yes, and he says that in his book. Again, we're not spewing out of our ass, and we're not talking like we knew X or whatever personally, but it's just, it's common knowledge, right? Like I'm not trying to throw dirt on his name or nothing, you know what I mean? But this guy was at least a lot of his songs, there's a lot of religious themes.
Yeah, yeah.
So you know, so he's got some reflective songs. He's got like he's got some inspirational songs. He's got some real violent ass songs. He's got a bunch of that shit. So I'm gonna, if you gotta think a bit, I'm gonna start. All right.
Okay.
So I'm gonna start with Rough Riders Anthem, and you can pick the same thing. But Rough Riders Anthem defined that hard hitting style. Like, this motherfucker gonna kill you. Like, he's gonna kill you.
Yeah.
So for me, like Rough Riders Anthem was like,
and there was like, they're coming
defining, but it came from that album. It's Dark and Hell Is Hot. That's his, probably his most famous album.
Yeah.
So if you had to pick a top track, what would you pick? We just throw it off the dome. It doesn't have to be top three.
I guess it would be X Gonna Give It To You. There was that.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good track. That was X Gonna Give It To You. Give It To Ya. That's a Cradle to the Grave soundtrack. Right? That's the Cradle to the Grave soundtrack where he was with Jet Li.
Okay, okay.
And he was actually, for those of you who did not know this, you're not a real fan of the 90s, early 2000s, because DMX was also the club owner in Romeo Must Die. Right? DMX also a club owner, so he was actually in two movies with Jet Li.
Okay.
Wait. He was only in one movie with Jet Li. My bad.
They were like the tag team duo in one of them, right?
Yeah, no, he was in two movies. He was in Exit Wounds with Steven Seagal.
Yeah.
No. Cradle to the Grave.
That was a weird team up movie, wasn't it?
Which? Cradle to the Grave or
the other one, yeah.
Or Exit Wounds. Exit Wounds was good, man. I loved it. But Exit Wounds was a dope track. Remember Ain't No Sunshine? Oh,
that's like a straight to DVD movie.
I know. But come on now. Steven Seagal. It's like back then. It was kind of straight to DVD, but it was
all right. You know what? Because after all this bullshit in UFC, I just have no respect for him.
I know. He's a fake-ass master.
He is a fake-ass motherfucker.
Yeah, I fight him for $1 million.
Yeah.
I think both of us will fight him for $1 million.
Oh, fuck. Well, and what was that song that DMX was on with LL Cool J, and I think Cannabis was on it? What was that song called? And then I think that's a song where Cannabis and LL Cool J beef started.
That was an older track, though.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was. It was, but I do remember that. I can't remember, but we gotta Google it. You can Google it. Actually, I'll Google it right now. See, I'm not as poor as I used to be because I can actually talk to them and not have to use shit. Actually, have a computer.
My dog is here. Sorry.
Yeah, I hear him. Hold on. DMX, LL Cool J. Oh, 4-3-2-1.
Yeah, I think it's that one.
Yeah, no, but I still remember Ain't No Sunshine.
Ain't No Sunshine When He's Gone.
Yeah, but he made, that was a song he made for Exit.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's so there was that. That was a slow song. And he also had The Rain. Remember that song?
Oh, what? Sorry, which song?
The Rain. He goes, "All I know, only I can stop the rain." Remember that? Yeah, I busted into it, man. I busted into it. How to do it for X.
And I like that Stop Being Greedy song.
Yeah. No, that was wicked. Stop Being Greedy. Yeah. We can't start rapping X because we're gonna say some say some words that are gonna be very racially charged and because he definitely drops more than a couple of them. But Stop Being Greedy was great. Great. That's a hidden gem. There was Who We Be.
Who We Be?
Remember, you'd be like, man, Who We Be. Remember that? You don't know who we be. Remember that one?
I don't remember.
We're talking about da-da. Remember that one? Remember what I'm talking about?
No, man, I don't remember that song.
Oh, man, this is a good tribute we're doing to him right now.
I think you're doing a better tribute than
me. No, because I did that. I did the voice. Why are you laughing, man? It's a tribute to him because we love the guy.
But Bambi's barking as a dog. My dog.
The barking? I can't do the barking because you gotta do the barking a certain way. But listen, this guy, but when you hear that bark, you know it's him.
Yeah, definitely. That's his
man.
Fucking
yeah. And then I'm telling you right now, I'm probably not gonna fall asleep till like 2 a.m. because I'm gonna be banging to those tracks. Now the neighbors are gonna start complaining. No, he had another one. He had and Party Up. He had those. He had Get It on the Floor. He has so many bangers.
There's obviously that What's My Name song. Yeah. Everybody's bump.
Yeah. And he had...
What's that song with Cisco he had?
Oh, man. I gotta look it up again.
What's that song with Cisco? How do you even spell Cisco?
What These Bitches Want. Oh, What These Bitches Want.
I just like your tribute voice.
No, but come on now. You got to admit it. That's a pretty good tribute. No. Like, man, this guy is just, oh man, it just bringing back. You know, I never really took time when I saw the news. This was like, what, not yesterday? 2 days, yesterday, right?
Yeah.
When it came out yesterday morning, I never took the time to kind of, you know, like with Kobe, like you kind of, these people were a big part of our childhoods growing up.
Yeah.
You know, and oh man, it's sad. Like, you know, last year there was Kobe, there was Chadwick Boseman, and then and then, you know, like again, these are all, it just sucks because I mean you, DMX and Prince Philip on the same day. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I feel bad for Prince Philip, but you know, he was a rich old royalty guy, and you know what, not to say that's any less, but you know, it didn't connect to me, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but you can't relate to Prince Philip.
No, and you know what, I'm sure it's sad. Like, I mean, anytime that happens to anyone, it's sad, right? But DMX, like, I mean, shit, like, it's it really he influenced a lot of people with his music, and you know, it was kind of like a soundtrack to a lot of our lives when we were growing up.
Yeah, man, for sure.
Yeah,
especially during high school and those, our high school dances and whatnot.
Yeah, there was no,
chilling with people too, right?
Sorry,
and just chilling with people too, right?
Yeah, anytime you go in a car, there's probably like anytime we were in a car when we were growing up, there was probably in that era, there was probably not one like car ride where you would not hear DMX.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you heard DMX all the time. Like, because he was like the king of like the late 90s to like maybe like till the time, like our 5 years in high school from like 1998 to 2003, that was when DMX was the king.
But for me, I was more like a Wu Tang.
I know. You like we connected when we first met. We started talking to Wu, right? But that era was like DMX was at its height of his powers.
Yeah.
Those 5 years we were in high school.
Yeah, you can't deny the influence he had on like our generation.
Yes.
So,
and I mean, just the guy. He never like, you look at the rappers now, and I know you like your Travis Scott. I know you like some of the newer guys, you know, I don't listen to them as much, you know, but they got people always talk about like they got their drip, they you know, the NBA players, they dress in very colorful, different kind of ways. And DMX was always just like, he had his white tank top and his chain, and that's it. Right? That's DMX. He had his white tank and he had like a hoodie on and a chain, and then that's him.
Straight thug down.
Yeah, that's him. He's got his Tims on, and that's DMX. That's it. Like, in every single one, he just show up. And then he was in the Def Jam game. I remember you was in him in a Def Jam video game. He was in Belly with Nas.
Yeah.
And then that scene where they're in the club where they all got all those scary eyes and shit. That's a scene that's been duplicated in so many different
guys.
Yeah, man. This guy, he's definitely an icon. An icon.
Yeah, that's true, eh? Like, thinking about it, he was, like, really mainstream. Like,
huge.
All across North America, I guess.
Yeah, like, even if you look at a guy like, even now, like, you have, like, Kendrick and J. Cole and these guys, and, like, even, like, you know, like, Childish Gambino, whatever. I mean, these guys are really talented guys. Their music really touches and transcends, but they weren't as mainstream as DMX.
No.
You know, DMX was in movies and people knew who he was, and he kind of like he was in some of the biggest movies. Like, Romeo Must Die was one of the biggest movies when it came out.
Yeah, that was the one with Aaliyah.
Yeah, see, that's another sad thing. People were talking about that yesterday.
Yeah,
but it was Jet Li, and Jet Li was in there. And but anyways, man, shout out to the Dark Man, shout out to DMX, because, you know, we'll miss that guy's music.
Yeah, man, it's sad when people go that way with overdoses, man.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things. I've seen like a couple, because just starting in ICU and stuff, right? But it's sad watching it happen, because there's like loved ones, they have hope that their family member is going to get better.
Yeah.
And you just got to tell them, like, yeah, they're not gonna recover. There's nothing that we can do.
That's sad.
You just got,
yeah. That's sad. That's like, you know, and I mean, the man had a lot of demons, you know, like it just.
Yeah, I think from like what I was reading and what I like heard on the news, he was actually getting better. But then, you know, the stress of COVID and all that stuff, it just kind of puts people back sometimes in a dark place. And
yeah,
he might have gone back to some of the vices he had.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's just. I saw him recently, not in person, but like on Versus. Like I watched, remember I was telling you, I watched him go against Snoop Dogg. That was like what? That was like 3 months ago.
Yeah.
You know, and he was back in the public spotlight. Him and like Snoop Dogg and him were going at it. And I think Versus TV, you know, I'm like, you know, I talked about this with you last time. I'm always watching it, like whenever it comes on. And and you know, just to see DMX and oh man, just he's yeah, it's really sad, man. It's sad. But so shout out to X. And we're going to kind of pivot off into some kind of happier topics. But, you know, but definitely shout out to him and, you know, just change, influence a whole generation. But a happier topic is, you know, we like to, you know, we talk pop culture. We kind of we talk about current events and things like that. What kind of things, you know, what kind of things you've been watching lately on TV?
Me, the last episode of Winter Soldier and Falcon was pretty
good. Oh, yeah, I just watched it. I just finished watching it. Literally right now, right before I called.
Yeah, it's pretty, it was a good episode. You know what? I wasn't looking forward to this one. I was looking forward to the Loki one, which I think is coming out after, and it's actually like growing on me, this show, because it has like the buddy aspect with Falcon and Winter Soldier.
I do like that.
They have a good dynamic, and then there's Baron Zemo that's in it, and he's kind of funny as well.
Yeah, I did like how they portrayed him. Yeah,
yeah, and then there's like the struggle of the new Captain America too, of just kind of stepping into the role of Captain America, and he has to carve his own kind of path as well, right? So
yeah,
he's to be the man but also trying to be his own man at the same time. And I think this last episode was pretty cool in terms of like,
yeah,
the difference of who Steve Rogers was as a person rather than him. He was Captain America, and Captain America was Steve Rogers. You can't choose, and then that's kind of what happened, right?
But you also, yeah, but you also, like, you, they did it without, we're not going to spoil anything too much, but they did it in a way where you kind of saw this coming.
Yeah.
And what happened in this most recent episode is like, and that's you know, like my wife is a big fan, and we kind of talk about this a lot, you know, but the really good thing that Marvel does is like they even though like this new Captain America is supposed to be, they made him out to be, you know, like he's not very likable, obviously, because who can replace Steve Rogers, right? But the thing is, you understood, like, again, we're not going to spoil to anything, but you understood why he got arrived, why he reacted the way he did.
Yes.
Like when I was watching it, like I felt bad for the guy because of what happened. Right, he could have made a different choice. Again, we're not spoiling anything, but like I was saying, like I was like, yo, I probably would have done the same thing, like if I was just in that situation, right? Yeah. So it did, and that's the thing about all these characters. So it's they really make you connect to the characters, the human aspect of these characters.
Yeah, I think they did a really good job, man.
And I loved WandaVision because, and again, it just made you, I didn't think I was going to love it.
Yeah, I really liked WandaVision too.
Yeah, I didn't think I was going to like it. I was like, what the hell is this stuff? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's witchcraft and bullshit. Or
whatever. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like, come on now. like fucking Disney, Sabrina, get the fuck out of here.
I don't work
shit, man. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you know, it's like, and you know what? I actually never growing up, I was just like, okay, you got a witch, and then you got a robot, and then they get married. Like, I'm like, yo, this shit is crazy. Like, I know it's supposed to be comic books, but even then, it's crazy.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But then, when I watched it, I was like, damn, they do a really good job. And you know what? I'm not, you know, like, I'm not all, come on now, you know, like, I'm not like, you know, like, I'm not all sappy into that stuff. But, you know, you could feel like the love that they have for each other.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate to see, like, how she deals with her traumas, you know what I mean? Of, like, losing a loved one.
Yeah, but she, oh, see, again, without spoiling too much, you can't, she had very little control over, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because, and then, again, so I think the best thing about these superhero movies now, the way that it's not just entertainment for kids anymore, right? It's very adult and mature. They tackle topics. Is they show us where superheroes fuck up just like the rest of us, because we gonna fuck up in our lives, right?
Yeah.
But they show that these people recognize it and then they remedy their mistakes.
I think that's the difference between Marvel and DC, right? Their heroes are just very, very human.
Yes.
And then it's humans with powers, basically, right? And
so, yes.
Instead of it being like motherfucking Superman, who's like a god.
Yes.
It's like...
They're all godlike. Like Superman, Wonder Woman. Even Batman is like a god because he's so rich. And his world is totally different. You know, yeah. but this is, again, I was having this discussion just before, you know, anyways, yeah, so I did like it. Loki, I'm guessing you watched the trailer, but I did not watch it.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure I'll end up watching it because I was hating on WandaVision. I was kind of like meh on Winter Soldier and Falcon.
Yeah,
because I was kind of like, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't... Like, these are very minor characters that aren't kind of like the main Avengers, and that's what they're trying to do, and they're doing a wicked job with.
Yeah. You're right. They're trying to make them very like they're trying to give them the exposure that they deserve, and like the characters fleshing out, because not a lot of people know of them, right? And they're trying to make them popular.
And then they can try to, and that gives more continuity when they can fill in the gaps, right? When the next movies come out.
Yeah.
They're super smart with that, man. I mean, this Marvel stuff, man, like, they're going to make billions and billions of dollars over the next like however long. Like, we're gonna be old men, and we're gonna be sitting around, you know, God willing, we make it to ripe old ages, and we're all sitting around, and Marvel's still gonna be, it's gonna be like friggin' like the grandson of like Falcon or something like that. Right? They can, and they've really, I don't know, they did a good job. Like Miles Morales, I really liked it. I really like Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah,
that was good.
They're making the second one now or whatever, the sequel to that movie.
I like what he had. He had the you're a shoe guy. What kind of shoe do you had in it? Air Force.
Yeah, Air Jordan.
Air Jordan. Oh damn, Air Jordan one. See, I'm not a shoe guy. I'm a basketball guy, but I was never a shoe guy.
Yeah.
So he had it. They specifically, it's that iconic look, right?
Yeah, they actually Nike released a version of that shoe. It's the Air Jordan 1 with like some kind of like blue accents, but it also has like reflective dots on it to kind of like symbolize Miles Morales, like, because he can go into like a chameleon mode and get through. So it was a pretty fucking dope shoe. I tried to get it, but I didn't get it, and now I regret not buying it at that time because I think it was like $300.
Yeah.
Sale, now it's like fucking $1,000 resale. I think it's like $700 resale. So
god damn,
fucked up.
Yeah, the shoe game, man. Yeah. That's a different game, dude. It's NBA Top Shots before NBA Top Shot. those fucking bots, though, man. They're creeping.
Scourge. They are the scourge. They can easily make them like illegal, but it's nobody gives a fuck to do it.
Nah, because you know what? They gonna make their money regardless.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. And Nike doesn't care. They're making their money, and the government doesn't care, because who the fuck gives a fuck?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. If people wanna line up online, line up in person, wait hours to drop hundreds, thousands of dollars on shoes, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, they don't care.
No, they don't. But anyways, yeah, no, that's Miles Morales. Yeah, it's so, they're doing such a good job. Anything else you watched lately besides the show? Have you watched new episodes of The Stand?
No, I haven't. I've been watching this cartoon on Amazon. It's called Invincible.
Yeah. So the soup, it's made for mature audiences.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So any kids listening, you shouldn't be listening anyways. Actually, if you're listening, make sure you tell everybody you know to listen, to follow our show, to subscribe. So, you know, cover your ears, but spread the word. And if you ask 20 other kids to listen to this, then tell them to cover their ears as well, but at least subscribe. Is that a good show?
The first couple episodes were good. So, but yeah, who knows how it's gonna like play out, right? But so far, so good. It's pretty graphic in terms of like
the violence.
Yeah, it's pretty violent.
Oh shit!
So it's pretty gory in some areas, and which I kind of like.
Yeah, I think you and I are pretty comfortable with that stuff. I could see how it could turn some people off, but you know what? Everybody has their own taste, right? So, but I'm glad you did.
You're showing me the other show.
What other show?
That's Sam.
Oh man, that's coming out soon. I'm so pumped for Yasuke. Yasuke, yeah. The Black Samurai.
I didn't watch the trailers for it.
Oh my god, man. That looks like it's just gonna be like you know when Afro Samurai came out, I was hyping it like crazy.
Yeah,
I was fucking I bought the DVD, everything, and like holy fuck. And the Reza, and you love the Reza, and you and I basically became, you know, the best of friends because we connected through like the Wu-Tang and martial arts and all of that stuff.
Yeah, and I think we've had these conversations before where we're just like how well hip-hop complements martial arts.
And Afro Samurai was like, man, that Afro Samurai was one of the... Okay. This is our recommendation. If you listen to our show and if you have not watched Afro Samurai, you can actually watch it for free on Tubi TV.
Tubi?
Yeah, wow. Tubi is actually, like, I think they're affiliated with Fox, you know, like, if you want to get political, maybe don't watch it. But TUBI.TV, they actually have a lot of anime, and it's all free, and it's all legal. Yeah. So, I can't believe I never even told you about it. But, you just watch it, and then they have some ads, but they usually have older titles. But the anime is quite new. Like, you can watch, like, Naruto, whatever, all on there. The stuff that's on Netflix and stuff, on Prime, they have some good anime. You can watch it totally for free on Tubi.
Yeah, I was watching Naruto on Netflix.
Yeah, you can watch it on Tubi. And on Tubi, they have Afro Samurai Dooms. Tell our loyal listeners about what Afro Samurai is all about.
I think it's like samurais and they're all numbered.
But this takes place in the future, though.
It's like
a dystopian future.
Yeah, it's Samuel Jackson voices the main.
Yeah, character. But he also voices the ninja.
Ninja.
The guy that follows him around, the ninja guy.
Oh yeah,
the guy who's always annoying him and shit. Okay, we're not going to spoil anything.
It's kind of like the Game of Death where you just kind of going up the chain.
Yeah,
right?
But you know what was the best part about that show? This is, in my opinion, okay, one of the most creative aspects is you get headbands, right? You get ranked by who you're going to fight, right? Yeah. So there's number one, the Ichiban, the number one in the world. He has a number one headband. Yes. But Afro, it has a number, the Ichiban, number one headband.
We're not spoiling
anything. He kills Afro's dad. That's a whole story. He kills Afro's dad, and Afro's getting, he fought his whole life to get the number two headband. But everybody tries to fuck up the number two headband because it's the it puts it on its head. It's not like, yo, everybody's, the bullseye is not in the champ. The bullseye is to get to the number one contender spot.
Yeah, I see what
you And mean. That is super creative because all these motherfuckers come in. So actually being the number two guy, having the number two headband is the most fucked up part because you have everybody coming after you. Because you fight for the right to fight the champ.
Yeah, his number one contender spot.
Or yep, that's dope. And now you know what? When that show came out, I'm like, huh. Like, that's kind of what the interim belts now. Before, they didn't have it in the UFC. But at the time, Afro Samurai came out. But that's kind of like what it is with the interim belts now. Yeah, right? Yeah. But then the thing about Afro Samurai is like these guys fighting to the death, obviously in a fake anime world. But they fight to a death. And then you could have like 10 guys go after the number two headband. Like there's no like fair fight. It's not like Afro's in the ring or one-on-one. Like there could be 10 guys ambushing him in the woods.
It's just a free
for all. Yeah, man. That concept was so novel to me. Like when it came out, I'm like, oh, dang. Like, you know, because we always think the champ has a bullseye on their back.
Yeah, everybody's.
But then you never really think that you have to earn the right to fight the champ. Right? So everybody, like, you have to fight to get to the number one contender spot in order to fight the champ. So that's super cool. I loved how, like, and they made a sequel, Afro Samurai Resurrection.
I didn't watch that. I never even knew that.
They did. And Lucy Liu voiced, she was a total, they made a total whole character out of her. But she was like,
what do you mean they made?
Like she was like, she was like some sexy ninja chick in there.
Oh yeah, that's right. Up
here, this is an awkward laugh, right? But I'm not gonna lie, it's a great look. But they had the teddy bear ninja. I mean, they had everything, man. They had, that show was phenomenal. That movie is a movie. And then when I bought that DVD set, they actually had, like, you know I'm super cheap. You know I'm a cheap ass, right? And when I buy something, like, there's four DVDs.
A lot of thought that has to go in.
Huh? Yeah, there are four DVDs that I ever bought in my entire life. Do you want to hear the names of these four titles of DVD?
I sure do. I sure want to know what you gave a fuck enough fucks about to actually go on.
Okay, so the first, I already told you, Afro Samurai. I bought Scarface 20th Anniversary Edition.
Right.
Okay. Tony Montana. That makes sense. And then I bought the Dark Knight.
Okay.
And then I bought Heat, the Robert De Niro. Al Pacino.
Why did you feel that Dark Knight was worth your money?
Okay, I'm gonna tell you right now. Dark Knight was the greatest, is until this point, the greatest superhero movie ever made, in my opinion.
All right.
That's what I'm saying. Because when I watched The Dark Knight, I felt like this could happen in real life. Okay. You hear what I'm saying? Like the way Nolan filmed it, and he went for the hyper realism with this movie. It wasn't about like fancy shit. It was, and then you remember Batman's bike in that movie? Oh my god. Yeah, that thing. I forgot what it was called. And he would go through the malls and he was on the streets. Oh my god. And that scene when the Joker was in the transport.
Yeah.
And they were like that car chase scene when he was on his motorbike. Oh my god, man. Like I must have watched that scene like 20 times. Yeah, and then remember that bike, it would hit something and it could go up the wall and it would like reverse.
Yeah, it could go sideways.
Oh man, that was just, man.
That was dope.
Dude, if I became filthy rich one day, that's probably the first thing I would do. Make a movie. And I just drive around, like drive up a wall. like drive into a tree, and then like, oh my god, that was, to me, that was just the it's perfection.
Yeah.
Like I, and then obviously, you know, shout out to Heath Ledger. It was just a career defining role. Unfortunately, you know, we know what happened after. But you know, again, a lot of demons, you know, and that movie kind of brought it all out, I guess, you know, the Joker. But you know, he, nobody plays Joker like Heath.
I'd agree, because yeah, the spin that he put on the character was
really, yeah, like was really, you couldn't even wreck. And you know what was crazy was, because you, before that, he was this kind of pretty boy kind of actor. And then when he played the Joker, I, a lot of people were talk shit about him, but when he was cast as a Joker.
Yeah, because yeah, they thought he was.
Yeah, yeah, they're like, boy. Okay, yeah, okay, whatever, go, like, whatever.
He was in Night Hill or whatever before.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Dude was in Brokeback Mountain, and then he's going to go play Joker. You know what I mean? And then it's like, seriously, like people were hating on him. And when he played Joker, I was like, holy shit, man. Like, you don't even recognize the guy.
No.
You don't. You just don't. And it's just, damn, man. Like, it was just, to me, yeah.
And his ability to, like, improv and stuff like that was really good.
Man, I think
that the one scene where he's, like, trying to blow up the hospital whatever. There was, like, the lag. And
when he was trying to push the detonator.
Yeah, and he kind of smacked the remote.
Yeah, no, man, that was just
small time, but it goes a long way.
Yeah, right?
In terms of kind of him being the character as opposed to playing the character.
Yeah, right? He was great. It was great. There's just, oh, I did buy one more DVD, Spider-Man 2.
Spider-Man 2? Yeah.
The Tobey Maguire Spider-Man.
Why?
Okay, that's my second favorite superhero movie of all time.
What did you enjoy about
it? Made me cry, man. When he gave up trying to be Spider-Man, and then Aunt May had that speech, you know, saying that, oh yeah, we miss Spider-Man, and then he like sacrificed his life, and then that was, you know what, this movie's old, okay, so I'm not spoiling too much, but then that was when he actually like Mary Jane discovered his identity. So I was like, man, this movie. I love it when they reveal the identity of the character, like people they trust.
And then she realizes he's not a deadbeat.
Because he stopped showing up, man. He didn't show up to her shit, right? He didn't show up to any of that shit. No. Yeah, and then she ran away at her own wedding.
Yeah, because
she was supposed to marry what's his face, Jameson's son. And and you know what? You feel bad for the guy because he was a nice guy.
Yeah, he was.
He was like an astronaut. He tried to be a nice guy. He tried to be a good person, but Spider-Man though.
Hell no.
He became. I think he was Venom or like another villain, or he became like somebody, some other thing.
I don't think so.
No, okay. I'll tell you something right now. If you have Disney Plus, there's Spider-Man 2099.
Yes, I do have
it. Yeah. So Spider-Man 2099 is, for any of you guys who have Disney Plus and you are into Spider-Man, is him in the future. So he actually goes into like some future world, and he goes into outer space in there. And then Jameson's son is actually like on another planet or whatever, and he's like running shit.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, but he's running shit in a good way. Like, he's like part of
the... I thought 2099 is not Peter Parker. It's some other dude.
I don't know, but it's some other Spider-Man. Oh. Yeah. But anyways, all of this... But Spider-Man, those are the five DVDs that I bought. And I'm a cheap-ass dude. Yeah, like there are value in those DVDs, bro. Like, I mean, I can't sell them for nothing, but I feel like I really...
a spiritual value.
Yeah, no. That's, you know... But yeah, if there's... What the hell was I going to say? We started talking about... what were you talking about? Afro Samurai. Yeah. Afro Samurai. So Yasuke. But there's an anime, a new anime. And I know, because I know you were a fan of the Japanese culture and Japanese films. And I know you were a fan of the Japanese Yakuza films. Right? But I know your brother is a big fan. but your brother might like this, but it's an anime and it's called The Way of the House Husband.
Way of the House?
Yeah, husband? It sounds weird. So initially when I saw it, I'm like, damn, what is this movie about? This show about, right? So it's a story about this guy who's like ex-Yakuza, and he's like one of the most feared Yakuza ever. And then he retires, okay. He gives up his life in the Yakuza, and then he just supports his wife by being a stay-at-home husband. And then the show is obviously a lot of like, you know, like there's a lot of hilarity ensues because he like still uses his Yakuza tactics to like clean the house and like shop for like deals and shit. yeah, like he goes to like the trailer or whatever, or there's a manga of it where like he like has a tactic, like he uses like ruthless corporate takeover tactics to like to shop for like you know babies clothing and shit like that.
But
that's on my list because it's I'm very interested to watch that, but I think there's gonna be some shit where it's like his you know shit comes back to haunt him and then he has to fight him off and shit like that.
I see. So it's kind of like the history of
violence. Yeah. Great movie.
Yeah, I loved History of Violence. That was
yeah, based on a comic book as well. Yeah,
I think
he's dope though. He's one of my favorite actors.
Viggo.
He plays some iconic roles. He played that guy in Joe in History of Violence. He played that guy. The Promise. Russian mafia guy in Eastern Promises.
He played Aragorn in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, one of my favorite roles. He was in an underrated film called Hidalgo.
Yeah,
he's racing the horse, the Pony Express, dude.
Oh.
Yeah. There used to be a race. It's a real race, man.
Like a race
through the desert? Yeah, like in the Sahara. They had people race through the desert, and then he was an American who, a real life dude, who, you know, they had the Pony Express, which is basically like the FedEx back in the day.
Pony Express.
So they delivered shit all across America. Like they had the fastest horses and they were couriers. So then he was a Pony Express delivery guy and then he joined a race in the Sahara like at the turn of the 20th century. Yeah, and then they had to race across. Like it was like an endurance race. And I think some rich shiks, like emperor, like princes and kings, like in the Saudis or somewhere in that region of the world, they sponsored it. They used to sponsor that shit.
They love horses, though.
Those guys over there, man. They rich, and then they love their racing. In Monaco or whatever, they have the freaking, they have like the F1 races. They have, you know, you watch that show.
Yeah, they love their
Ferrari. Yeah, that's the kind of money that's funding those cars, yo. We got that kind of money here, man. Like all that, all those sports in Europe and shit. Like if we look at the major sports in America, like we look at basketball, like there's a lot of money that go into it. But then you have, like you said, the F1 money. You have like the fucking soccer money that are like these oil tycoons in around the world and other parts of the world, and that their amount of money is like they're rolling it.
Yeah, you gotta be filthy rich.
Filthy rich. Like, oh man, like someone like. I know. Like, the richest people in the world are, you know, you have your Elon Musk, you have your Bezos, you have those guys, the Bill Gates, the Buffets. But then those people, like, proportionately, they probably have more guys at the top, right?
Yeah.
But, oh, God, man. Like, I would love to own a team.
Like a car or a basketball team.
So, basketball team or something. You know, I love basketball. But, you know, I don't think I'll ever have enough money to do that. You know what I mean? But, you know, let's hope the lottery works or whatever things shake, you know, but one can dream. But you know, there was this old couple who retired and they saved up quite a bit over their lifetime. I don't know how much. And then they bought a minor league baseball team.
with their like
retirement. Yes, both of them. Yeah, and then they're like, I saw their story on Twitter because they would watch. It's like the Vancouver Canadians or like just like a minor league team, like Everett Aqua Sox or whatever. That's a team in Washington State, and then they've got this team. Yeah. They probably have like $500,000 budget, and then they just bought the team. That's yeah, crazy. And they just start running it. I mean, we're talking like these, you know, these minor league players, right? Minor league baseball players. Guess what? They're like $100,000, $120,000, right?
That's like a salary.
Now, let me say that $120,000, right? U.S.
Yeah,
that's a team salary, yo. That's a team salary.
And they're just scratching their balls all day.
No, and these players, man, they play like 200 games in one summer. They play almost every single day in the heat, and each player gets paid like $18,000. And they literally have like a budget for meals. Like you have like $20 a day or $10 a day, and then these players are like eating Twinkies, and they're going to your Walmarts and 7-Elevens. And getting like chimichangas, you know, because they don't have money to like, you know, it's not glamorous. And then they do this for a shot at the scouts come up, the team guys come down, management comes down to their games maybe once in a while. And it's like, holy shit, man. If you make it to the majors, then you make it to Major League Baseball, you make it to the NBA, and boom, you get paid maybe like that. $1 million just for sitting on the bench.
Yeah, that's amazing.
But you gotta grind. You there are a lot of these guys, like 90% of these guys get paid like $30,000 US a year, which is not very much. You know, like and that's after their second job. Like they might be like a math tutor and play minor league baseball in the summer. And there's a bunch of these guys like that for real.
And they have to
work. They got them, man. Like, it's crazy. Like, some of those BC Lions guys are working at like A&W, like over for the year because they can't, you know, and they got to grind. But you know what? Shout out to all those guys. If you're a minor leaguer, if you're a pro athlete that's getting paid, you know, the salary of a part time barista at Starbucks to play a sport, hey, man, respect to you.
Yeah, that means
you're really you're chasing sport. Your dreams, man. They're doing it for that shot, bro. These guys are playing, and you know what? A lot of these guys that are playing these leagues, whether it's basketball or football or soccer or whatever, playing these minor leagues, they could take their talents to Asia, to the Middle East, to Europe, and they could get paid way more. Yeah.
No way.
But guess what? The scouts aren't going. And even if they do, they're doing that a lot more now. But if they go there and if you play really well, let's say you're dropping 30, 40 points in a basketball game there, they're going to look at you and go, are you just a big fish in a small pond? Right? Yeah. They're not going to, you know, if you're playing in the NBA G League or minor league baseball league, or if you're in the UFC, if you're like the UFC basically has a lot of minor league now, right? Bellator. Or like, let's say guys from 1FC, even if they want to make the jump to UFC, not officially, they're not affiliated. Let's say you're in PFL, like Anthony Pettis is going to PFL, right? All these smaller leagues, you know, you get a shot at finding a UFC, but you're getting paid peanuts in these minor leagues. But if you're fighting over in some random like Russian league, the UFC might not know who you are.
Yeah, you're not getting the proper exposure you need to.
No, unless that's what Khabib's trying to do.
Yeah, his eagle, whatever.
Yeah.
Fighting.
Yeah. I always feel bad when I say Khabib because DC always says Habib, which is, I think, the K is silent.
Yeah.
The K is silent. You know why?
Yeah.
Because he kills silently, man. He's a silent killer. He kills, man. He's got skills kill, man. He's once he gets you down there, like you're as good as dead. You're done.
Yeah, man. Dundee's, man. He's like a python.
Yeah. I very, very, I mean, him and Max,
when you see Max Holloway, probably one of my favorite fighters besides Poirier, I always tell you that the absolute dominance these guys have on their opponents. Like, just pieces them up, man. Like Max on Calvin Kattar. You and I watch Max Holloway beat the living shit out of Brian Ortega. Like, yeah. Brian Ortega looked like he was a punching bag.
He was telling him to, like, yeah, how to block.
We were losing our mind. You and I watch Ortega just get pieced up. Like how, what level of dominance is that? Habib. I said it right. And I said it with the correct pronunciation, too. Habib was beating on Michael Johnson, beating on Barbosa, and talking to Dana about, yo, hook me up for the next fight.
Yeah,
he, you know, when he was fighting guys like Michael Johnson, Barbosa, he was telling them shit like, yo, give up now. You should just give up. You don't need to take unnecessary beating. God damn. That level to do that to somebody at the highest level. Like, guys like Michael Johnson, he's a decent guy. He's not a slouch.
Yeah, I thought he was. I always had like.
Yeah, and Barbosa. Edson Barbosa is, a lot of people say he's one of the most dangerous strikers in the history of the lightweight division.
And I think he was on a bit of
he was killing people. And then Khabib made him look like a, you know, he made him look like nothing. Like, look at Conor. He made Conor look like a kid. Conor hit him flush too with a good shot. We watched that fight.
Yeah, Dominique, yeah, almost.
Yeah. He rocked Conor a little bit on the feet. He took Conor's left hand full on the face. And, all you got to do is watch. You know what? If you're not an MMA fan, just go look up Khabib wrestling a bear. Like, the Russians are built different. How are you gonna let your kid wrestle a bear? But they, you know what? They did it. And fuck, man, that's a bear, yo.
It was a bear.
But I know, but every time I watch that video, I'm like, dude, I'm not hating on. I'm not. Don't get me wrong. I mean, no disrespect to Khabib's dad, right? The man did great things, and shout out to him, and you know, of course, we know about him, and it's a beautiful story, a sad story with him and his family there. But that every time I watch that, that clip probably comes across my feed once a year, at least, the Bear Cub wrestling video, right?
It's absurd, but
I see that, I was like, yo. That is why this motherfucker is a bad motherfucker. Like you're a 6-8-year-old kid and you're fighting a bear. That bear still have brutish strength. Like, that's a bear cub. Like if that bear cub wanted to like push me on the ground and, you know, like, it could probably still exert some sort of power over a grown ass man. Like, he's something else, man. For like, when I look at that kind of pressure that he puts on people, just that dominating pressure, and when you see that, you're like, holy fuck, I can't imagine getting beat up by that guy and dragged through the ring for like 25 minutes. That must feel like he suffocates you, man.
Yeah, no relief when he's on top of you, right? He's gonna be trying to make you tired or trying to beat you up.
Yeah, and as somebody who when I used to spar and I competed a couple times, and when somebody's on top of you like that, and then they take you down and then they just drag you and their weight's on top of you and they're breathing down on top of you and they're punching you, they're doing all these things to you, it is one of the least comfortable feelings in the entire world. You don't want that. It's gross. It's absolutely gross. But what I was gonna say is, oh man, see, look, we start talking about, everything comes back to MMA once in a while, because we start, we always come back, like, these guys are our heroes, right? Like, we grew up. But what's one thing you hooked me up with this? We're gonna wrap this up because we got plenty of content, but. We got to shout out GSP. You hooked me up with this, man. What did you want me to watch?
Yeah, I want you to watch the Joe Rogan podcast with GSP is the most
recent. Oh, yeah, the Joe Rogan Experience. And I know a lot of fans who are of our show who are listening to it right now. If you are listening to our show, you probably heard a Joe Rogan Experience. Doesn't matter if you're a fan of MMA or Joe Rogan himself, you probably heard of it because it's such a big podcast, right?
Yeah, he recently, his catalog got bought by Spotify, mm-hmm. so it's all on Spotify.
Because I can actually watch the video on Spotify.
Yeah, he got paid like something fucking ridiculous. Oh, man. Like,
he's the biggest podcaster in the world. And yo, man, this guy, like back in the day, but again, bringing it back to when we were kids, like 2000, 2001, this dude was on Fear Factor. We looking at this guy, I was like, yo, man, this guy's just telling people to eat worms and shit. Like, look at him now.
Like donkey shit.
Oh, yeah, that episode. Yeah, it got banned. The donkey semen. Yeah, no. That episode got banned. It did get banned, but we caught it. We caught it before it got banned.
Joe Rogan left the show, I think, because of that semen one.
Because he didn't want people drinking donkey shit.
No, like the network was like, what the fuck are you making?
but you know what? When I was listening, they talked about, I'm about 2 hours in because it's like a 2.5-3 hour long show, right? Because Rogan shows they're like Ariel Helwani's MMA hour, right? I don't know why Ariel calls MMA hour like an MMA hour because the show's like 3 hours long. But they talk about George GSP brought up Wesley Snipes. Hello? Yo, can you hear me? Yeah. He brought up Wesley Snipes.
Yeah.
No, we want to fight. They were going to sign. Remember, we talked when this was happening. We're like, oh, shit, Joe Rogan going to fight Wesley Snipes.
Who do you think?
Hello?
Who do you think would win between Wesley Snipes and Joe Rogan?
You know what? They talked about it on the show. I do think because Rogan has, I do think on the stand-up, Wesley Snipes, I know he has a martial arts background, but he's more of a movie guy, right? So he's kind of like a Ralph Macchio kind of like, okay, you can learn to fight in a movie, but I think Rogan would win. I mean, I think Joe Rogan's a black belt in jiu-jitsu. Yeah, he was a brown belt at the time when he told GSP, and I think all he has to do is get him to the ground.
But I think he's under.
He's Bravo, under Eddie right? Bravo.
So, do they have belts?
I think they do the 10th Planet, but it's but it's no-gi though, right?
Yeah,
it's all movie, so I think they have a belt system, but it's kind of like I think it might be like patches or something like that, or like bands or something like that. But I think Joe Rogan would win. I think Joe Rogan would have won at the time, and I think he would win now for sure. I think Joe Rogan's got it. So I think, yeah, but it's a great but. If you have time, if you have Spotify, if you're on YouTube, I think it's on YouTube, right?
You just get the clips. Yeah, people upload.
Yeah, those, but so. if you have Spotify, definitely check out Joe Rogan Experience interview with George St. Pierre. And if you don't know what the Joe Rogan Experience is, go check it out because he interviews some really, really good people and they really dive. They go deep dive, bro. They go in depth, right? They go real deep into a lot of topics.
Yeah, I thought there was like a lot of good stuff.
That yeah, about. A lot. And you just learn so much. And then when I listen to a guy like George St. Pierre, it just kind of reminds me of like what a great person he is. And it just kind of reminds me to kind of get in touch with, because sometimes you lose your way, especially in the pandemic and stuff like that. But when you listen to, and this again, like I think there's a good part to wrap up the show because the pandemic has kind of mess with all of us in so many different ways, mentally, emotionally, whatever, financially for some of us. When you listen to, like, when we talk like this, or when we talk about Joe Rogan and not, you know, doing Fear Factor, and we talk about George St. Pierre, you know, and he talks about his fears, and we talk about DMX and how all of these things, everybody's dealing with their own problems, but these guys all tried hard to be, you know, George St. Pierre, DMX. They tried in their own battles, right?
Yeah.
They try to overcome. Afro Samurai, he tried his best to on his journey to Vendetta, right? So, anyways, I think it's a good, on that note, I think we're just going to do our shout outs. Anybody you want to shout out that we missed before we go today? Any groups of people, anybody in particular, any sort of, I did the shout outs to shout out, you know, we shouted out GSP, we shouted out, you know, hopefully he'll listen to this one day. We shouted out, you know, obviously X, we shouted him out. So anybody else in particular you want to close with?
Maybe shout out Alex Trebek or no?
Oh yeah,
I know he passed away, but I don't know if he did.
No, we didn't. We didn't. We never did. So shout out to, you know, he's obviously a big part of people's lives. You know, people watch him every day. Shout out, definitely shout out there. Once again, you know, I just, you know, to wrap up, I think this is more of a reflective episode, but shout out to really every one of our listeners out there, you know, not just for supporting this show, but shout out to all of you guys, just because, you know, I know everybody's kind of struggling with their own thing right now, right? There's nobody that's not suffering right now, because, you know, unless you're in New Zealand, Australia, and even then you're suffering with whatever, but I mean, everybody's dealing with COVID and being stuck at home and all that stuff that comes with it psychologically, whatever, right? So shout out to all those people who are, you know, grinding every day and like taking the time out for their mental health, because, you know, it's important during this time, right?
It's very important. It's we gotta look out for each other. Our normal kind of coping stuff is
no. It's that, you're 100% right. You know, and everything's kind of, you know, we've lived like we've lived over a year like this, and everything's just been, it's just been so off. You know, and hope is on the horizon. So if you guys are listening, shout out to everybody, still wearing their masks, still doing proper distancing, still staying safe, still observing all these things, and until the next episode. Okay. Hopefully by then we'll talk more about Yasuke won't be out by then. But before we go, you know that I know you got a PS5, and I know you got that Ghost of Tsushima game.
I do.
It's a now game. The rumor is the guy who, Chad Stahelski, who is the director of John Wick, the series.
Yeah.
The guy is signed on to direct the Ghost of Tsushima movie, and they're thinking that it might be Keanu Reeves to play that dude.
I don't think they
should. I know, but if they go with that, doesn't matter. They go with them. They go with some Asian guy to do it justice. Some Japanese dude, and they still have that Chad guy at the helm. Holy, that's gonna be deadly. And I know you love that game. I, you know what, when I saw that game come on, when I saw that footage, I'm like, holy shit, man, that's, if I were to buy a PS5, that's what I'd buy for.
Honestly, it is a very good game. It's it gets like a little bit repetitive at times near the ending, but overall it's still a very good game. It's open world, and it really makes you feel like you're a samurai.
Okay, so I read the premise of the story. It's about this dude who like fails at protecting his castle or something, and he has to go back and like he's like a samurai, right?
So it's Genghis Khan's, I think, grandson or something.
Beijing, Japan. Coming,
yeah, he's coming to conquer all of Asia again. And then so it's about him attacking the island of Tsushima and then the kind of fallout from that as well, because there's like a lot of character struggle and stuff like that from the main character. But that's, it's something you have to watch and see and play yourself in order to kind of get it.
Damn, them Mongols, man. Those Mongols were, they were running amok. They were going everywhere.
Yeah, this guy was more like a scholar because he learned Japanese and stuff like that. And
yeah, that Genghis dude, man. Freaking Temujin. Genghis Khan. That guy was a killer, man. He just... No fucks given, that guy. He pretty much conquered pretty much all of the known world. At that time. The known world at the time.
Yeah, and he would enslave people.
He just kill or enslave or just straight up just... You know, they're saying Genghis Khan's genes are like... There are tons of people, like millions of people with Genghis Khan genes. Yeah, because he was doing a lot of violating, that guy. Anyways, but that's it. So definitely not a shout out to the Genghis, because he was a scary dude, but shout out to the people who made Ghost of Tsushima, and hopefully we see that movie come out. But on that note, I'll holla at you later. Until the next time. Okay, this is Chew. We got Dooms. We signing.